Philip has been preaching and teaching in the city of Samaria. But now an angel tells him to go south past Jerusalem, to a long, lonely desert road from there to Gaza. And this may have sounded strange to him. It may certainly sound strange to us. Luke tells us that it was a desert place. You couldn't expect to find anything there. No towns, no houses, probably not very many people. It was the last place you would expect to find anyone. The last place that you would expect to find what we might call success. But Philip goes anyway, just as God has commanded him. He listens to the Lord even when it seems strange to do so, because God had a plan. And on that lonely road to Gaza, Philip meets someone, an Ethiopian. And we're told that he's a very important man at that. Luke tells us that he was a court official of Candace, or rather we should say the court official of the Candace, because that's what the Ethiopians called their queen. And he, we are told, was in charge of all of her treasure. He was a very high-ranking man. We can see that even in the fact that he is riding a chariot to and from Jerusalem. Only the very rich could afford to travel in this way. Most people traveled, like Philip, on foot. But this man was wealthy. And this Ethiopian, we are told, was also a God-fearing man. He had come all the way from Ethiopia, hundreds of miles, to go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord, just as he was commanded to do in the Old Testament. And while he was there in Jerusalem, he purchased a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Again, a very expensive thing to have. And now that he was returning home to Ethiopia, a trip that probably would have taken months, he was reading aloud from Isaiah. Everything about this man is impressive, to say the least. He's probably the very last kind of person you would expect to meet on that lonely desert road. But God had a plan. But there is one thing about him that was a little bit unusual. Luke tells us that this man was also a eunuch. Now, that's not totally surprising for a man like him. High-ranking officials in those days often were eunuchs. It just was part of the job. But it was a little unusual because this eunuch was still seeking after God. He was still seeking to become a part of Israel. And that's unusual because how can he be part of Israel if he can't father children? So many of the promises of the Old Testament centered on children. Abraham was told that he would have numerous offspring, as numerous as the stars of heaven. And for people to die in the Old Testament without children was considered a curse. It was like you were cut off from God, that you had no promises. To not have children meant that you had no inheritance in the land. And yet, here was this eunuch, unable to father children, and still following after the Lord. But how could he truly be a part of Israel? How could he truly find a future among God's people? But God had a plan. Because God had also made a promise in the Old Testament, a long time ago in the prophet Isaiah, the very book that that eunuch was reading on that day. And that was a promise that even a man like him, even a eunuch, would not be cut off from Israel. even he had a future in God. In Isaiah 56, we are told, "Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' And let not the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, 'To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give him an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.'" And so even though this eunuch could not have sons and daughters, God was going to give him something better. An everlasting name, a permanent future, an unbreakable promise. He would give him an inheritance in Israel that would never pass away. And to do just that, to give him that everlasting name, God sent Philip to him that day to proclaim to him the name of Jesus Christ. Because Philip, on that day, heard the eunuch reading aloud. That's just what everybody did in those days. And when he asked the eunuch if he understood what he was reading, the eunuch says no. I mean, he does have faith in God, that's true, but he hasn't yet heard about Jesus. So the veil is still over his eyes. But God has given him a willing heart, one that is ready to hear what Philip has to say. And the eunuch had been reading from Isaiah 53 when Philip came to him, the very chapter where Isaiah talks about the suffering servant of the Lord, the servant whom God would send to deliver his people from their sins. We, as Christians, know this passage very well. Take, for example, verse 5 in Isaiah 53. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." We, of course, know that this is talking about Jesus. We know that this is Isaiah talking about his suffering and death, how Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins, how Jesus suffered so that we would be forgiven. Yeah, it's very familiar to us, but the eunuch was hearing the truth of this passage for the first time. And beginning right here, with the prophet Isaiah, Philip preaches to him the good news of Jesus, all according to the plan of God. And on that lonely desert road, as they were going along talking about Jesus, they came across some water. Now, that would be a fairly rare thing to find in a place like that. I mean, it is a desert place after all. But it's no accident. Just as God had sent Philip to meet the Ethiopian on that day, God brought him to this water. And the eunuch does not hesitate. He doesn't wait for another opportunity. He stops the chariot. He goes down into the water. He is ready to receive the grace of God. He hurries to baptism in order to meet God. He hurries to receive the forgiveness of his sins. And in those baptismal waters, God gave him that everlasting name that would not be cut off. In those waters, on that day, the eunuch was joined to Jesus Christ. He had an eternal monument, an everlasting name, an unbreakable promise, all according to the plan of God. And even the very last thing that Luke tells us happened on that day shows that this is all according to God's will. Because we are told that after the eunuch was baptized, Philip was taken away by the Spirit. Now, I think that this was actually being physically taken away, the way that Elijah was taken away so long ago. But unlike Elijah, who was taken away up into heaven, Philip is taken westward, placed along the coast at Azotus, from which he will go northward until he gets to Caesarea. And he's going to stay in Caesarea until we meet him again much later in the book of Acts. But all of this shows that God intended Philip to be right there in that moment, right there according to his plans. God meant for him to meet the eunuch in that desert place when you might not expect to meet anyone. God meant for him to preach the word on that day. God meant for him to baptize that man before being taken away to continue preaching the word. None of this is an accident. All of it is according to God's plan. And the eunuch came to know Jesus on that day, just as God intended. Why then, Christians, should we fret and worry? If we are here today as Christians, it's no accident. If we believe in God, it is because God has made it happen. Our salvation is according to his plan. And the gospel goes out into the world just as God intends it to do. And it will not return empty, because all of this is in his control. And Christians, let us also not worry when God calls on us to speak, just as he did Philip on that day. When he calls on us to speak of Jesus Christ, let us not fret, because God brings us to that moment. God gives us the very words that he would have us say. God is the one at work within us. So let us speak boldly of him and leave the results of it in his hands, knowing that he will always do what is best according to his gracious will. Let us pray. Almighty God, who holds all things in your mighty hands, lead us to trust in you and to speak boldly of your Son, knowing that you are in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.